In Louisiana, coastal erosion claims an average of a football field of land every hour. Some Native American communities in southeastern Louisiana are the hardest hit. Special correspondent Megan Thompson brings us the story of three indigenous communities fighting to save their land.
My Mamafin is buried all the way in the back right-hand corner, who is my grandpa's mom.
At a small cemetery on Louisiana's Gulf Coast, Devin Parfait pays respects to his Native American ancestors. He spent his early years here in Duloc, Louisiana, as part of the Grand Cayo Duloc Band of Biloxi Chitimacha Choctaw. The tribe of nearly 1,100 people has been in the area for centuries, but now Parfait's worried about its future.
One of the biggest problems is that whenever we have storms that come in, the storm surge that it brings will sometimes carry these coffins out, and people will have to go out into the water and grab these coffins and bring them back.
The coffin that was once in this grave has disappeared. Some of the tombstones that remain are deteriorating or turned upside down. But the destruction of this final resting place is just one part of a much bigger problem.
This right here is the lot where I lived up until the second grade.
Parfait's childhood home was destroyed in 2005 by Hurricane Rita.
I think about all that's been lost. I mean, our culture, our heritage, the physical lands. I think about the efforts going on now about coastal restoration and how they don't do enough for these communities who are living on the front lines here.
Parfait is now in a position to help change that.
Great to meet you. How you doing?
Last year, at age 25, he became the chief of his tribe. He also earned a bachelor's degree in geoscience so he could study how much coastal land loss was affecting tribal communities.
My research specifically was answering questions that other scientists didn't come down here to answer.
Parfait found that some tribal communities in this area are losing land at more than double the rate of the rest of coastal Louisiana because, he explains, tribes were pushed out to the farthest reaches of Louisiana's southeastern coast after the U.S. government forced them to relocate in the 1800s.
Even in my lifetime, I've noticed that the shoreline has encroached and moved further inland.
Parfait also has a new job working for the Environmental Defense Fund. He's partnering with other tribal leaders and Louisiana State University to tackle one major cause of erosion: the 27,000 abandoned canals dug over decades by the oil and gas industry that have sliced up the wetlands.
All the bayous are getting wider.
Teresa Dardar and her husband Donald are members of the Pointe aux Chiens tribe based in Montague, 16 miles east of Parfait's tribal home. They're working with Parfait to convince outsiders that tribal land is worth saving.
Whenever we have meetings, I tell them, you know, we're the bumper, but if you don't protect us,
you're next. Yep.
All of this used to be forest where Donald would hunt as a boy. Now, they're surrounded by water as far as the eye can see, the trees killed by salt water. The Dardars blame the old canals like this one intersecting their bayou for allowing the ocean water in. All this moving water also makes the shoreline erode faster.
It pretty much washes away that bottom and then eventually works its way up until it all falls into the water.
The oil and gas companies were supposed to fill the canals back in with soil, but the state stopped enforcing the requirement long ago. So the Dardars and their partners secured over $550,000 in grants to start doing it themselves. They hope this canal will be the first. Research from Louisiana State University shows filling the canals back in repairs the land and is relatively inexpensive.
You got a mussel on there, two mussels, three mussels, four mussels.
Donald is leading another restoration project to protect the shoreline here. He and a team from the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana stack bags of oyster shells collected from local restaurants along the banks. Over time, the barrier builds up as new oysters and mussels grow on top of the old shells.
The goal of this is for this to just keep growing and expanding. Hopefully they go bust through these bags and just keep growing.
Since 2019, they've built two 400-foot reefs from about 400 tons of oyster shells. During that time, the bank that isn't protected has eroded by several feet.
Since we didn't go no further with the bags, then right here, it eroded.
For the Dardars to have any hope of saving their land, these projects need to be done at a much larger scale. Louisiana is already spending billions on its coastal master plan, an almost two-decade-long effort to battle the rising seas. But the Dardars feel left out.
So we have to go on our own looking for funds to try to save our community, because they're not.
The Dardars are fighting with another tribal leader, Rosina Philippe, to get more funding for resiliency projects and storm repairs. For years, Philippe was president of the First Peoples Conservation Council, which advocates for tribes along Louisiana's coast. She's also a tribal elder in Grand Bayou Village, 40 miles east of the Dardars. It's a tiny indigenous community only accessible by boat.
We've been inhabitants of Louisiana for many, many centuries. Our whole lives tied around being on the coast and, you know, connection to the water.
Damage from Hurricane Ida in 2021 is obvious everywhere.
That dock is washed away and it needs to be replaced.
Homes are destroyed and boats, lifelines for the community, wrecked.
I'm borrowing this boat today because my boat is still damaged from Ida.
Philippe's brother, Maurice, earns a living from fishing. He also gives away hundreds, sometimes thousands of pounds of seafood each year to help feed his community. But Hurricane Ida caused $25,000 worth of damage to his boat.
I've been having boats all my life, and this is supposed to be my last one, hopefully. And seeing it the way it is right now, it's heartbreaking.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, could help out. Last year, it handed out more than $3 billion to victims of disasters. But the National Congress of American Indians says federal money for security and emergencies isn't delivered evenly. Tribal citizens receive only $3 for every $26 that non-tribal citizens receive from the Department of Homeland Security, which houses FEMA.
The government is paper heavy. Paper, it's not an indigenous concept. It's not how we record time or events.
Tribe members often don't have documents like land deeds and home records that the government requires. On top of it, many don't have basic computer skills, but the applications are all online. So Philippe has helped create a program to train tribal members to navigate these complex government systems.
We're trying to find a way to make the connection between who we are and what they expect.
Recently, a small victory. After lobbying from Philippe and others, the Biden administration extended the deadline for Hurricane Ida relief in Louisiana to June 1st. Philippe says the hard work is worth it because despite the challenges, her people will never leave.
We have outsiders come here and they see the lack and they see the loss. We who belong here, we see what's still here, what's still viable, what still makes life in this region, you know, so precious. We don't just survive here, we thrive.
For PBS News Weekend, I'm Megan Thompson in Grand Bayou Village, Louisiana.